Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. Time for Burns and Gambo to cut to the booth and talk with a Diamondbacks broadcaster.
It's a fact, Jack. I'm back. You back. We back.
The booth, brought to you by V's Barbershop. Head to V's for the VIP experience.
Yeah, we back.
Our weekly visit with a Diamondback broadcaster, and it is always a pleasure to have on our good friend, Steve Berthew, play-by-play announcer on the TV side for the Arizona Diamondbacks, as he joins us from the Emerald City, Seattle. We'll have the call tonight of the D-backs and the Seattle Mariners. What's going on, Bert? How are we doing?
Hello, men. It's actually a really beautiful day here in Seattle. It rained from morning, noon, and night yesterday on everybody's off day, so the golfers were less than thrilled with that. But it's a gorgeous day today. This is one of my favorite ballparks. It's really, really lovely. The roof is open, and we're good to go. Well, looking forward to it.
It's a beautiful ballpark up there.
I've never been in that ballpark.
I always love that ballpark because it's got a retractable roof like Chase Field, but theirs is so different in that it's really more of an umbrella. It's just kind of this roof that's like off to the side, and if it rains, right, they just kind of close the umbrella, right, and then open it up when it's nice. It's got a really beautiful, unless I'm describing it totally wrong, Bert, that's kind of how it is, right?
No, yeah, it is. It's not as sort of cavernous as Milwaukee's roof, which is just, it's like a big giant ice cream cone. This is sort of more, a little more flat, not quite as much as Chase, but it's the same basic design, and it's right off Pioneer Square. The Seahawks Stadium is literally across the street, so you see it behind left field. I mean, it's a beautiful city. We've got a nice sunny day, and this is always one of my favorite stops. For
I want to go back to the San Francisco series. Did you ever see anybody hit a home run into a kayak before?
Never. On the fly? Was that amazing or what?
That was incredible.
Patrick Bailey. Yeah, what are the odds?
Right, I mean, into the kayak.
The guy missed the entire ocean.
Right. Right,
how
exactly.
Do you do that?
I mean, it's like you have your car parked out somewhere, and a guy hits a home run, and it happens to hit your car.
Right, exactly. That happens in spring training a lot. Yeah, that was the one big blow against Zach Gallen in that game, and Bailey hit it a mile, and it landed right in some woman's kayak, and she caught it like it was nothing. It was amazing.
All right. Give me your initial thoughts right now. We're talking a lot about this team just trying to stay above water, just keep your head above water, find a way to play 500 baseball until they can get some guys back. Because I have not seen this team suffer this many injuries. I can't remember all the years I've covered this team. I can't remember them being this decimated by injuries.
I was just chatting with Dave Sims, who does such a great job with the Mariners broadcast, and I was giving him the injuries, and he was just like, are you kidding? Really? Wow, how have you guys even won a game? I'm like, yeah, we're missing three starting pitchers, three relievers, including our closer, our shortstop, and our center fielder. Otherwise, things are great. But, Gambo, I also think that there's a little bit of an excuse because they should have won a lot of those games regardless of injuries. And I think that's what really gnaws at Torrey and the coaches, that you know we shouldn't be too under 500. Even with all these guys, we've had plenty of chances to win some of these games, and they haven't come through. And no one has an answer as to why you score 14 runs one night and one the next day. And that's continued since the first day, and nobody seems to know why. And it's just one of those odd baseball things. And as you said, they're trying to tread water until they can get this thing a little more consistent offensively.
I asked Torrey about it earlier when we had him on. The game yesterday, the double play that Ketel Marte hit into, did not try to run it out at all. I asked him if Ketel's going to be in a lineup today, and he said he would. But obviously, if anything like that happens again, then it's a different story. But just give me your thoughts. I mean, he's been such a great player. To see him not hustle out a ground ball, which he probably would have beat out if he had run a little bit harder. Give me your thoughts on that.
They are very – first of all, Ketel, the reason Ketel has had the season he's had and is having is because he's played at full speed since the first day of spring training. And Torrey's very clear with us about that. A lot of veterans come in, they kind of take it at half speed the first week of spring training, and then they kind of go to three-quarter speed the next week of spring training and on and on. Ketel was pants on fire from the first day. And so that's why, in large part, I think he's had the year he's having. Now, to that point, Torrey will tell you he has to be a little more diligent in getting Ketel days off because of the leg injury, the soft tissue injuries, and the history there with the hamstrings. So and a day off has to be a complete day off. So he has been told before, I'm not saying specifically in that particular instance, but generally it's okay from time to time if you don't run everything out, if the situation is, not quite hopeless but almost there. I think that all ties into what you saw in that one play. I don't think it was that big a deal. They weren't going to win that game. It just was almost a lost cause at that point. But there's a lot that goes on with Ketel in managing his health, keeping him at full speed, and making sure when he does have an off day, it's a real off day. And Torrey, as you guys know, is very, very strict with that. And I think he sort of let himself, okay, we got a chance, let's get Cattell in there. And I think if he had it back, he wouldn't have put him in there in the first place.
Behind the scenes or even in front of the scenes, what, beyond moving him around in the lineup, what is being done by Corbin Carroll or to Corbin Carroll or around Corbin Carroll to get him kind of jump-started for what's been a really slow start to his season so far?
Well, Burns, as you said, the other day was the first time he hit seventh, so they dropped him down there. That's something that he and Corbin had discussions, ongoing discussions about. That certainly did not come out of nowhere for Corbin. The bottom line is they're jamming him inside, and he's trying to hit that pitch. I mean, that's what that has happened consistently since the first day. If you picture Corbin Carroll in the left-hand batter's box from the center field camera, everything inside and above, that's all he sees. And he's trying to hit that pitch, and he needs to not try to hit that pitch. He needs to let it go. He needs to check off on that pitch. Because now he's trying to hit it. And so occasionally, then he loses soft away. It's the classic hard-in soft away, right? So he's like jam, 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 up and in. Then somebody throws a little change up or a little curveball down and away, and he waves at it, and his hand comes flying off the bat like we've seen. And he's just in that no man's land zone of just being lost. But once he starts checking off, like when you watch Corbin Carroll hit, if he lets those pitches go by, that's a good sign. That's what they want to see, because he's going to force guys to go back into the zone, and then he can get a ball that he can actually hit. But he's got to start. He's just got to lay off those pitches.
Merrill Kelly might be my favorite player on this team. I'm a huge fan. You know, the way you maybe like Perdomo, I think that Merrill Kelly is. I don't know that this is a loss they can overcome. I'm really worried about this one, because that his moxie, his ability to take that ball and give you six innings, seven innings, keep you in games, win games. He is a really, really good major league pitcher. How do they overcome this loss for a couple of months?
Depth. I mean, I agree with you. He doesn't maybe have quite as high a ceiling as Zach does, but he has much more consistency. Zach will have occasional wild swings like he had last time in San Francisco, where he just wasn't quite himself. You know, we always like to call him Merrill the mainstay, because he's been the mainstay of this pitching staff. He's the steady guy. He's the guy that you know nearly every time is going to give you at least six, maybe seven innings. So you're right. It's a big loss. I agree. I think he might be the most underrated pitcher in the league. But now you got to go to the depth. You got to go to Slade Ciccone, who looked so good the other day. You got to have Tommy Henry figure it out like he did Tuesday in St. Louis. That's the answer. I mean, and now you add Montgomery to the mix. Hopefully you get Erod back at some point soon. And I think that's the answer, Gambo, that you go to that depth and those guys have to step up. And so far they have with Slade and Tommy. You get Erod back in the mix, and then things look a little bit differently.
Last one for Steve Berthiaume. He's in Seattle, and he'll have the call of the game tonight as the D-backs take on the Mariners. We had Torrey on the show earlier. It sounds like that it's Paul Sewald and Alec Thomas among the injured who are the closest. Any kind of a read on when we might see either one of those guys back?
I literally just walked out of Torrey's office 2 minutes ago, and the news on Sewald was a little disappointing. He threw that outing for Reno the other day and was ahead of schedule, felt good after the outing. The next day he had some soreness in that area. He was a little more sore than he expected he would be. Not the oblique. The oblique is fine, but there was just some general soreness. So I think there was a very optimistic hope that he might be able to come back for this series. That will not happen now. He's going to throw another bullpen at Salt River, and then we'll see. So that's a little bit of a, not a full step back for Paul, but maybe a half step. The oblique is okay, but he still has to have another bullpen or two, and they'll go from there. Alec is playing in a simulated game today. So that the news on him is very good. So yeah, That's the latest I have on those two guys for you.
Okay, yeah, and Torrey had mentioned, too, that there'd be some running involved for him, too, in that game. All right, Steve, always good to hear your voice, man. We appreciate your time. Have a good call tonight. Finish up the weekend strong, come home, and we'll talk to you when you get back, okay?